Put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to part 2 of episode 5.
Something happened when I was recording the audio and it got a little messed up. So please bear with us. The audio quality is not the best, and I've done enough to it to make it still listenable. So just know this is not representative of our other episodes.
If you are listening to us for the first time, we might want to suggest listening to part 1 as well. It has some great stories, some great contribution. And if not, it's totally okay. We hope you guys enjoy it.
Have you had any like challenges being openly gay? And then like how have you dealt with those challenges? And then like in that, what tools have you used to really be true to yourself in a powerful way in reference to your sexuality? Caroline's raising her hand. Yes, Caroline, I call on you.
Call on me. Challenges. Yes. A few things. One, briefly after, it's been little things, like just little intricate microaggressions, as we call them in the modern day, coming up.
What?
Along, microaggressions, if you've not heard of that term.
No. It's God, like, I feel so old around you.
So a microaggression, for those of you listeners who don't know. And there's been some real aggressions. Like, I've had some real aggressions. And then there's microaggressions, which are, like, little things that may not sound offensive and then are offensive to someone who is coming from a specific background, right?
Oh, okay.
So, like, there... And then there's things that are just like, oh, wow, you guys really did that. Like, there was a...
Isn't it called being, like, casual racist?
Yeah.
Okay,
same idea.
Okay.
So, like, there was a... I went to Europe with my big and my friend who I had previously had a thing with, and he was a man, and then I was also with my big from my sorority, and then in the fraternity of my friend who I went to Europe with, there was this whole, like, there was this image that someone created that was the Trump hat, that, you know, the one that says Make America Great Again?
Yeah.
But someone had photoshopped it to say Make Caroline Straight Again.
Fuck that what? Shit.
Yeah, so that went around for a little bit, and that
that's
was
fucked up.
Yeah, so like it was stuff like that. This is the world that we live in. These are the things that are going to come up. Like, I went to Ethiopia in March with Light Your Leadership, and it was a thing that we talked about that we weren't going to discuss. The people who in the group who went, who identified as gay or not straight, weren't going to discuss that because that is a thing that is not accepted in that country.
Yeah,
it's a thing that is not seen as, like, it is. We could go to prison.
I went to Kenya around the same time, and I was also told, like, do not talk about your wife as your wife.
Exactly.
In this small village. In the city, they were like, whatever. And when I went to a small village, when all the little kids were like, how old are you? Are you married? I was like, no.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so those kind of things. It's been those kind of things. Because, like, as a millennial in this age, for the most part, I've been really gifted with, like, having really accepting communities. And there's always going to be pieces. Like, people asking me, like, well, okay, you identify as gay. How are you going to accommodate that with, like, other people whose religious beliefs it doesn't fit with? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
So on that subject, what tools do you use to stay true to yourself, like, in a very powerful way?
The biggest thing for me is... actually choosing to not explain myself to people, like choosing to not take the time and the effort to try to explain who I am to someone, and just being, choosing to not react by trying to explain myself. I'm just gonna like exist.
Yeah, you're
just
choosing
as much
to,
as they're existing.
Choosing to choose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just choosing to be, like choosing to let it be, to not make it my job to manage their reaction. All of that.
Mm.
And also like realizing like, oh, if that's the space where that's happening, maybe I'll go be in a different space for a little bit.
Mm.
See if there's a different space that fits better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Russell? Quiet little burning up pink man over there. Any challenges?
My biggest challenge was to not stay in Louisville, Kentucky. I, again, had...
Wait, your challenge was to not stay. Was to stay.
Was deciding to
leave. Yeah. Got it.
Because I had a very accepting family, and I had all of my friends were very open about loving me and just being there for me. And so there was never a time when I felt like I was struggling to have and be accepted with who I was as a person.
Mm.
My thing was like recognizing that the end all could not be Louisville, Kentucky for me, and that there was such a small community in Louisville of gay people. So my big thing was just like deciding that I'm going to go out and explore the world and see what other gay people are like, not in Kentucky.
Yeah.
That was my big struggle. And like, I always maintain like just being who I was, and I unapologetic about it.
Would you say that was like stepping out of your comfort zone to do so? To like move?
Yeah, because I moved here not knowing anybody. Mm. And I decided one day I was going to move here, and I did within like 2 or 3 weeks. And so none of my family have ever left Kentucky, and most of them have always been there. And so, yeah, it was a stepping out of what I knew.
Mm.
But I've been very privileged and just being who I was and being very unapologetic about it.
Yeah.
And expressive about it.
I think you're a challenge melter. You know what I mean? Like,
challenge melter?
Yeah. Like having that so that much support as a gay person, I have lived the opposite of that.
Yeah.
I was very, very, very challenged and like realized I was gay and coming out and everything. But it's like other gay folk who have had the supportive community around them, it's like you're a beacon, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Like there's no question of whether you accept somebody or not, you just do. And for the other, I can speak for myself, for like a lesbian that did not have a lot of support at all, like a gay person that didn't have support at all, like seeing you be so easily yourself, it like melts my challenges. Does that make sense?
Well, and yes. Now I will say my grandmother and grandfather, Those were the only two people that I never verbalized that I was gay to.
Yeah, and they're old.
They were 80. They were 80.
So old.
They were so old. And I knew that there was never going to be a world in which they could understand my reality and my in what I perceived to be how I
yeah
like, who I was as a person. So I chose to save them that challenge. And
that's
just
the same for me. Yeah,
I agree. That's a interesting thing. Do your grandparents know?
No, I didn't tell mine.
My mom's parents know.
My mom's mom knows, but she's cool as shit.
Yeah, my mom's parents know, and she has asked me before on the phone, like, probably a year and a half ago, I don't know. She's like, so do you think you'll ever be with the guy? I'm like, Granny, no. Like, I know you're still hoping, and it's aww. Not going to happen. And I think she supports it and she accepts me. Do I think she would want to come to my wedding and see me kiss a girl? No.
Mm.
But she knows who I'm with, and she has never said like an ill thing about it. She just doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
And my dad's mom is like 92, and she doesn't know. Like, that doesn't register.
Why do you guys think old school straight people are so weirded out by gays?
I don't think it's being weirded out. I think it's a completely it's a completely different understanding of, because my grandparents grew up in a time that like there are people who are 50 and 60 and 70 who are just coming out at this time, and they're like finally saying it and verbalizing. I think it's just a completely different understanding and a way that they grew up in the world.
I think it's a big piece of like not knowing how to respond. Like, they genuinely don't know how to respond because they haven't seen a lot of examples of how to respond.
Mm.
Like, I know for me, growing up in San Francisco, like, I was always seeing stuff about the pride parades. We had all these allyship meetings. And, like, even though I wasn't identifying as queer or gay or anywhere in the LGBTQ community, like, identifying as an ally in high school.
Yeah. That
was
true.
Was a way to, like, learn about how to be with
culture,
it.
Yeah, we don't have that in Texas. We didn't have it in Texas growing up that I knew of.
Social media. Like, they didn't have that.
Yeah.
That's true.
At all.
No. They had
be-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. So it's like an unknown.
Roadrunner, AOL.
Yeah.
They didn't have that. So, yeah, it's like that unknown. It's like, I haven't seen anything about this ever. I've never seen it in, they've never seen it in
it's
media.
It's just so foreign
they're like,
to them, yeah.
So what, they're probably just like, what do you even do?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well.
Maybe.
We
do. I mean,
let's
we
talk
can
about
them,
that.
And like, they're probably like, oh, so what do we do?
So for our straight listeners out there that don't know what gay sex is.
Oh, God.
What? Moving on. So, okay, guys, gay myths. I want to talk about some gay myths. So,
you didn't want to hear about us.
Yeah,
challenges.
I know you didn't want to hear about
us. Oh, shit, I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Discuss the challenge.
I'm on my second drink, so that's my excuse. And your challenges, Brittany and Haley.
I wouldn't say challenges as much as, like, things that are said to me, like, you're too pretty to be gay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
good. Or you need to have kids. Like, you can't have kids if you're with a girl. Or
Haley,
like,
you're
yes.
too pretty to be straight.
You are way too pretty to be straight.
How was that, straight people?
Boom! I just don't understand.
Yeah, Frank!
Yes!
I just don't
Frank's
understand.
The only person I know, so I have to figure out Frank.
Okay.
Or, no of.
It's okay. Hi, Frank.
Just when people say, like, you're too pretty to be straight, I just don't understand. Like,
it's just the mean dicks.
It's just shallow, and what do you mean I'm too pretty to like who I like? Like, that doesn't mean anything. You know, like, looks shouldn't determine, like, how you should be or who you should act like or whatever.
Also, Britt's super pretty, too.
Yeah.
All shanked.
Well, and it's funny because people have, like, they think in their heads that, like, lesbians, there's, like, a boy and a girl. You know what I mean?
That defeats the purpose of being in a lesbian relationship.
Well, just, like, one is more masculine than the other.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? I don't know. The only thing that's bothered me, really.
What about you?
Because, like, we can still have kids, and we're
what?
Both pretty, so. I just don't have to sleep with a guy. It's perfect. You just get to pick him out of a book and
then
you have as well.
And then science happens.
Yeah, then science happens.
Sexy, sexy science.
I was rejected as a sperm donor.
Because you're gay?
No, because I'm balding.
Oh, what?
I thought I just said that interjected.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
That is, no, that's
like the sperm bank was like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really,
really,
it's...
You have to, like, do, like...
What if someone wants to have a bald child?
That and
there's
because I
lot.
Have really white skin.
A lot of
another
oh, because I guess you're a pretty high skin cancer guy?
Or I'm just super pale.
Well, to me, that would scientifically make the most sense. It's, like, really white skin. You have a higher chance of getting skin cancer. I would not want my baby to get skin cancer, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow, so I'm...
She's really thought about this, I guess.
I'm less than you?
Just because you're brown or not doesn't make you better than me.
You're better at me than getting privilege from this country.
Oh my god.
As a white male.
She just went there.
As a not straight white male.
I can say that because I'm 0.04% African American.
Oh god.
All right.
Aw, stop picking on us.
Go ahead with what you were gonna say, Brittany.
Oh, was I gonna say?
A challenge?
A challenge, yes. I haven't had any challenges from friends or family. I think the biggest challenge I had this past year was going to church and hearing that. So my family goes to like a small Christian church back home. And for a while before we found a church up here, I was going home and like going with them. And we did, they had this like question answer session, and people had like submitted all their questions, whatever, and then they were just going to go over them. It was like four different pastors up at the front, and the questions were surrounding like gay marriage and like, do you support it and stuff like that. So they start basically like bashing the shit out of gay people, and it was like, and then it was supposed to be a like theoretical by the book, like, what are you
biblical
supposed
responses.
Biblical response, yeah, so like, what, you know, like, what is the without judgment or without your opinion added to it. Well, they totally added their opinion to it. So it was basically like, no, you shouldn't support it. As a mother or a father, like, you should not even go to a wedding. It was bad. And I could feel like, literally, my mom would like kind of like casually like look up every couple seconds and like keep looking over at me. So I felt like I was one human like on fucking fire in there. I was like, I've got to get the hell out of here. As soon as that service ended, left that church and was like, never ever am I going back. And I think that's the first time that like I've actually faced it. Like, I've never been put in a situation where anybody's ever said anything like hateful, you know, to me. That was the first time I have had to experience somebody saying
complete opposite of like what I believe in, or even like saying anything remotely close to like, no, you can't be with like who you love, or like that is wrong, or, you know, like anything in that sense. Like, I believe in God, you know? So to me, it was just like, who the fuck are you to sit up there and tell me, or to tell my family that they are not Christian had they gone to my wedding. Like, that makes absolutely no sense in my mind. So I don't know. They continue to go. They saw it. Their whole direction on it was completely different than they think that I was like, I took it to a whole nother level, you know, like with the way I saw what they said. They were like, well, you know, what they were saying was, I'm like, no, what they fucking said is that you are not a Christian and you will burn in hell had you gone to my wedding, because I am not a Christian and I will burn in hell. Mm. So that was my first ever encounter so far.
It's very charging though, like that. Yeah.
What would you say is like the most powerful like tool that you use to
not slap them in the face?
Not necessarily overcome the challenge, but like transform it to something that like works for you.
Well, for me, I think it's like personally, I just don't feed into it. Like, I mean, even looking back, my brother has asked me like, "Are you seriously not going to go to the church again just because of that?" And I'm like, to me, it's like, if it doesn't make me feel good, like why would I continue to go? So if I had that situation happen there and I felt like shit being in there, like why would I ever go back to that? Like that. So the biggest thing is like on social media, you see all the shit, especially during this month, you're going to see hate, a lot of it, you know? And if you don't feed into it, like they're wasting more time and energy talking negative about gay people than what you are living your own life and doing what you got to do anyway, you know? So like, don't feed into it. I don't ever highlight and tell the world like, oh my God, look, this is my gay girlfriend. You know, like that's just how I live my life. Like I love her and my family knows that, but I don't have to highlight it and like jump out and like fucking put rainbows all over my status to let people know that like I'm in love with this woman, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I deal with it. Like me personally.
You know? Mm. Yeah.
Just keep it low key and live my life and do my thing.
Cool.
Like act like a normal person.
Yeah.
Like be a normal person because hey, guess what? We're normal people.
Exactly.
My favorite thing I heard about like after coming out, one of my favorite things around managing the identity, because I was managing it for a while, was our friend Ben, who actually is not here right now. And
Ben, we miss you.
He said to me, he's like, yeah, I'm gay and it's not the most interesting part about me. Not the most interesting thing about me.
Well, because it doesn't define
it
you. It's just a part of, you know.
I mean, there are some folks where it does, like, they highlight it as part of their identity more so than, like, I would necessarily. Mm-hmm. And that's fine if that's, like, your hobby and your interest to be, like, I, like, go demonstrate at rallies all the time. Like, good.
Yeah,
you. Like, be true to yourself.
Stay active.
Be true to yourself. And I feel like, so in the style of yoga, we practice Baptiste yoga. There's a whole bunch of like really, really awesome, what are they called?
The laws of transformation.
And one of them is simply be true to yourself.
I love that.
Which I realize, like it's in tune with another 11 other laws. So like, first of all, you have to like know who you are. And then once you know who you are, like we do here, like being like out gay people, like being true to that, like day in and day out, whether it means, oh, being gay is a huge part of my identity or not really, it runs in the background. And then I'm more about like coaching people or being a yoga teacher or really loving microbrewed beers or something like that. And
something more interesting, I guess.
Yeah, that's the tool that I've been using the most. And, like, my challenges was, like, growing up in such a – like, it was a really closed society. Like, I actually didn't have very many, like, non-Muslim white friends until I was out of high school. Mm-hmm. So before that, it was a pretty closed community. And the challenges I met was just, like, being told as a kid day in and day out that, like – God is watching my every move and that many of these things are sins, and then that homosexuality is basically murdering someone, and then overcoming like the psychological damage that I had gone through. Because like even nowadays, like it's, I'll have these crazy thoughts that I've been living a lie and I've been tricked by the devil, and I actually underneath it all I'm just disobeying God and he's going to get me in the end. Like I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell. Like I'll have these random crazy ass thoughts that I know are crazy. Like I know on like in reality are nuts. And yoga and doing Baptiste yoga and like, you know, working with those like laws of transformation and with like light year leadership tools, I've found a lot more space around that to where like when that crazy thought comes up, I'm like, oh, that is simply like an old voice from the past and it doesn't define me. That's not me. And I can like choose how I think and feel and understand myself, which is a normal human being that happens to like the same gender for the most part. And and yeah, I'm a good person and I trust in like me as being a good person. Like I don't need to be anything outside of that.
Yeah, so that I don't know. Mine was not quite as intense. Like my experience is not as
intense. You mean your upbringing?
Yeah, was not as intense and it was also very religiously strict.
Mm.
And though my biggest challenge was definitely with our wedding. Just because it was just such a weird how my family handled it. Like, they had meetings. Like, they were having meetings and web conferences.
This is last year, by the
way. I'm not even kidding. Like, and they would be like, okay, who's going to go? Why are you going to go? Let's vote. Are the kids going to go? Are the kids not going to go? And meanwhile, I'm just like,
this is my wedding.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, and it was really, like, I honestly, so my dad, I kept asking my dad, I was like, look, I want you to walk me down the aisle. And he would avoid the question, whether it was in person or over the phone or over text. Like, he would either not reply, change the subject, or just like, oh, I gotta go. Like, just very, like, would not say it. And it was getting down to the point where it's like, my wedding is next week. Are you even going to be there? Because he hadn't even confirmed that he was going to be there. I was like, are you going to show up? Like, should I just plan on you being there, not being there? I kind of want to know this. And I actually didn't know if my dad was going to show up until I was walking down the aisle. And I was like, oh, you're there. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, your uncle walked you down the aisle.
My uncle found out about this. And he was like, look, I don't want to overstep. Like, this sucks. I understand his, you know, I understand his, like, his thinking. I understand why this is challenging him. And I still think this is wrong. So I just want to offer. And I was like, dude, this is, like, so cool, because I wasn't thinking like I should get somebody else or anything. So that was my biggest challenge, and it still kind of is, because some of my family members are super weird with me. Like, I have some of my cousins who are older, they're adults, that they're not allowed to talk to me or like my pictures on Facebook or Instagram, because yeah, like, it's so stupid. And when they invited everybody else, and this was, I think it was last Christmas, they all went together to New York or New Jersey, wherever the hell they live, and they didn't invite us. And then my mom and some of my aunts were like, no, that's kind of fucked up. Like, you guys should also come. And I was like, fuck you. No, I'm not going to go there, you know, like.
Because you know you're not welcome in a sense.
It's not even, yeah, and that's the thing. And that's, like, I think there's a fine line between, like, staying true to myself and also imposing. And, like, I know me coming to terms with being gay was my journey, and it had its own timeline, and I couldn't rush it, and it just happened when it needed to happen, and they have one too. And mm-hmm. I need to be respectful of that, whether I like it or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I like. You know, I always think about this, and I'm like, okay, yes, this challenges me a lot. And at the same time, I understand that this is their journey. It's going to happen when it needs to happen, if it happens, right? It's going to happen the way it needs to happen. And I'm going to be there for them and hold space for them, like I kind of wish they would have been there for me. Mm. So I'm going to be that person.
Yeah, like, be who you want to be in the world.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Hey, so question. Do you guys believe that, what did you call it? Not sliding scale.
Spectrum.
Do you believe that there's, yes, like a spectrum of, yes, being gay? Like, you could, yep, be 0%, yep, to 100%? All right, percentages. Percentage, go.
Okay. Oh, of ourselves?
Yeah, of yourself. Yes.
How gay are you?
At this moment in time. Yeah, I guess it changes.
I'd give, right, myself 98%. That's like me trying to like be accommodating. Like 99. I'm almost like 99.5%. Not straight, like, not
gay.
Gay.
Okay.
Wait, and though
99.5% gay
or not gay. Gay. Okay. And though, like, I think it's a spectrum of like preference with every identity.
Huh?
You know what I mean? So like, it's like, oh, yeah, like, I like women, but it's like
you know, like, maybe I like women with blue eyes. Maybe I like women with...
This is a pretty, generic scale.
Okay, so on the generic sexuality
like zero,
scale, give me 99.6%.
You keep going up.
I know. Can I get a 99.7%? Super gay. Yeah, we'll go 99.65%.
What about you, Russell?
Back to you, Russell.
If... okay, so...
0%, let's say, is straight. 0% gay. And then 100% gay.
Cher and Elton John had a love child. That would be me.
Is that 100%?
So what?
110%?
All gay.
100%.
Okay. 100%.
Got it. Cool. What about you, Brittany?
I'd say...
Brittany doesn't like the L word. She doesn't like to be classified as a
lesbian. I'd say 65-35.
Wait, what? So 65% gay?
Yeah.
The more you know, star.
Anyway, all she needs to know. Yeah, I'm 100. 100%. Star. Ain't changing anytime soon.
Maria?
I would say I am 99.9999999.
Where's this 0.00001 coming from?
Because I'm not a gold star, otherwise I would say I'm 100%.
Oh,
that's like the one thing that is holding me back.
Yes.
That's true. But I mean, it's about your preference, not your past.
I understand.
Okay, from your preference point.
It's 100%.
Oh, okay.
It's not, yeah.
Like 100%, and though, we've only had so much experience.
I'm talking about your attraction levels. Like, do you ever look at a dude and you're like, damn?
No, but you know, there's some pretty boys.
Yeah, a little big guys, and I think, damn.
Oh yeah, so for me, it's like sometimes, you know, like every now and then I'll see a guy and I'll be like, oh, maybe, and then I get close to them and I'm like, no, dude.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Are you guys ready for my percentage?
50-50.
What? Oh, my God. No.
75-25.
80-20. 80-20. You got it. 80-20. The good old 80-20.
I cannot see you with a dude.
I can't usually either.
Only 20% of the time.
Hold up, guys.
She was with a dude when she was cheating on a guy with me. Yeah,
I wasn't cheating.
Whatever.
We were not exclusive. I knew him. I knew him for 2 weeks, and I met him on Tinder.
Boy. Is this like a good segue to talk about our dating lives now?
Okay, but it's got to be rather quick because we're running on a long episode at
this
point.
We'll just split it into two.
Oh.
Okay, real fast.
Love it.
Who are you dating and or married to? How's it going? How'd you meet? What's your favorite position? Go.
I love that you hid your face as you said.
Well, I can talk first. Marie and I met on Tinder in January 2014. And in January 2014, she fucking stood me up. I showed up to the bar and she wasn't there. And I was like, where are you? And she's like, oops, I forgot. And then I was like, screw you. I'm not even thinking about you. And so I proceeded to forget about Maria and go on dates with, I went on maybe like 15 dates. Some of them girls, but I'm sorry. The lesbian game on Tinder in Dallas, Texas was the fucking worst. I was the hottest one by far.
No, that was me.
Oh, yeah. I guess you. But... I stood a girl up. I didn't even stand her up. She showed up. We went to a yoga class, and then after we were done, I was like, I have to go. There's an emergency, and I just left. That's how bad it was on the lesbian dating game on Tinder. So anyway, I forgot about
yoga class. That wasn't a date.
We were supposed to then go to the movies, and I told her I had an emergency and booked it. Yeah. So anyway, I forgot about Maria, and then I was bored one day at the airport, and I was looking through my phone and saw this name, Maria, in my phone. I was like, who the fuck is this? So I sent her a Snapchat, and I was like, hey, I'm at the airport. And she was like, oh my God, I'm at a different airport. What are you doing? And then I realized she's the hot girl that stood me up. And we Snapchatted for like 3 weeks. Snapchat, of all things.
Yeah. Millennials.
Oh, yeah. And then we decided to meet up on our first date. And we had our first date. She like interviewed me. She was super official. Her posture was immaculate. Her head was like a lion's head. That was just like, rah, rah, rah. She really intimidated me, basically. And
that's the first time you've said that.
It was super intimidating. And then we hugged at the end of our first date, and we didn't stop hugging for like 5 minutes. And I knew in that hug that she was the one. And we didn't even kiss. And then the next day she came over and we kissed.
Yeah.
We kissed.
2 days later?
Then 2 dates later, she moved in with me because I was moving to another apartment. Long story short.
It just worked out.
1 year later, I asked her to marry me in a really dramatic fashion.
It was very dramatic.
Yeah.
Tell the story.
No, maybe another episode. It's really long.
Okay.
And then we got married. The end. What was the question? Oh, yeah. How did you meet your significant other and who are you dating?
So, yeah.
You guys go.
Yeah, go.
Okay, so
I stole her.
True.
I did steal
her. You stole her? Why did you shush?
No.
I was currently dating someone, and then
I stole her.
My junior year of college, our like straight girl too at the time. Getting a high five over there. She came. She was really good friends with the roommate I had just moved into on my softball team. So we had like a little party. My current girlfriend was there. Brittany was also there. I'm trying to get my current girlfriend to stop smoking cigarettes. Brittany's offering her cigarettes. I'm like, no, stop bonding. Stop doing that. Current girlfriend offered Brittany to sleep in my bed because Brittany.
Wait, did the three of you bond?
No.
Oh,
not that night.
Oh,
oh no. The three of us.
Never. The three of us never bonded.
We bonded. It was not that
night. Anyway, so like, me and Brittany met. She got me and my twin sister's number.
What?
Because I don't know.
Dude, game sees game.
No, no, no. So then she starts. She's like, texts both of us, like, "Hey, nice to meet you." Blah blah blah.
Damn.
I don't know who she was after, really. But
she
I kept
still wonders.
But I kept responding, and I just knew like the current relationship I was in, I had outgrown it, and it needed to end.
Yeah.
And knew I was going to see Brittany on that Saturday, so I needed to break up with her before the Saturday. So broke up with the current girlfriend, saw Brittany on Saturday. She, once we like officially started talking, she came back to the apartment that she was already at. I walked downstairs to meet her outside. She gave me a hug, and I kind of picked her up because she's little. And we came upstairs. We came upstairs, hung out for a little bit. Then I walked her to the car, and before she got in the car, I kissed her, which she wasn't expecting, and she gave me a purple sock monkey.
What's that? What's a purple sock monkey? A hickey?
Little monkey. No. It was like literal, like a stuffed animal type thing.
Oh.
Cheese ball.
I was getting going dirty for
you. No, it wasn't dirty.
Hey, I have can I ask kind of a, I mean, it's appropriate. I'm going to ask an appropriate question. You're dating an identical twin.
She's never got us confused because we don't look alike.
Well, you guys do kind of look alike.
You didn't even wait for the question.
I knew that was
but
the question.
No, it was actually not the question. Are you ever like, damn, there's two of them? Okay. Because they don't look that much alike.
Mm-mm.
Here, okay. I'll cover in our personality. Our personalities are very different once you get to know us.
Yeah.
And
can you say that louder?
She doesn't care. You should think
you can
that.
Say that.
Yeah.
You're dating.
Yeah,
say it
louder.
She thought that.
Yeah. Hayden's hotter than her twin.
Yeah, so then she ended up moving. We met in August. She ended up moving to Houston in March. So, lived with me for a little bit before she got her own apartment. And then, yeah.
It's just been a beautiful love story since then.
Yeah. Wait, how long ago was that?
My junior year, so 2013.
Oh, y'all have been together longer than us.
Yeah.
You've been together a whole lifetime in lesbian years.
Yeah, on and off a little bit. But
oh.
That's what some tats are about.
Interesting.
Yeah. But we just found our way back, and now look at us, so cute.
And you guys live together.
We live together, yes.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. We rent a house. Location not disclosed.
You don't need to give.
What's your address on there? Go. Social security numbers? Russell, what's going on with you over there and your man life of mans? Mens.
Mens. I'm single. Frank. Frank's got a lot of love this episode.
Can we name this episode Frank?
Just so you guys know, Frank is one of the patrons, if you were not paying attention before. So he actually gives us money every month to make this podcast like a bro. And Russell is very interested in a taken man taken by Maria's sister, in fact.
Whom I've never seen a picture of.
Yes, he's handsome. He's very handsome.
Frank.
Yeah.
Frank.
Straight people love.
Does he actually listen? No. Do we know?
Okay. Yeah.
He does. Okay.
Yeah.
I said that wrong.
Him and Anna run our Twitter.
Oh.
They do.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So tell us about the single dating life. How's it going?
It's going.
Are you on any apps?
Jason?
Uh-huh.
Jason
has a boyfriend.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Jason.
Oh, shit. We could have met a Jason.
See? Yeah. There's just people I thought, okay, anyways.
We have more gay friends.
There are more gays out there.
There are more gays.
There are more than just us. One, two, three, four, five, six.
Fort. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's pretty consistent.
Ooh.
I mean, not even in an exciting kind of way.
Ooh.
No, I mean, like, I mean, it's exciting, but it's like not. There's some gays, you know, man. New guys all the time.
Yep.
Is that a okay? So the stereotype is that gay men sleep with each other kind of quickly and a lot. Is that true?
I would say that is a pretty good stereotype.
It's an awesome stereotype.
I mean,
accurate?
I think it's a pretty accurate. Gay guys, I will speak from
Yes.
I have had quite a few sexual partners in my 14, 13 plus years of being openly homosexual. I've had a few consistent relationships.
Can I ask how many?
Do you know?
I do.
Give us your number. If you want to.
Do you put notches on your bedpost?
No, what? We actually, so we had a competition one time and it was like who had the most.
I want
to
know.
It was like who had the least would have to buy the most, like a drink or something. I've had over 150 partners.
Whoa. I didn't think anyone could beat me, but you did. Good job.
What is yours?
It's not that much.
You're
not
awesome.
That's
the 30-year-old married
woman. That's everything
yeah.
in, like, sexy world.
Yeah, you blew my number out of the water. But
yeah.
You're a gay guy, so
yeah.
not even in the same weight class.
Not even
yeah.
the same one.
Yeah. Same, yeah.
You're that heavyweight fighter. I'm just a little featherweight over here.
So it's been an interesting ride. I'm at a interesting
literally
place.
Ride.
Ah!
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm a 30-year-old now, and I'm trying to like. I am. That was mentioned at the beginning of this conversation.
Yeah, the first
he
time
may
seconds.
Have said that.
and so I'm just like, you know, in an interesting place where I'm like, okay, maybe I'm ready to.
Haley asked, "What's your type?"
Everyone is asking me that lately, and I don't have like a type per se. I just like a good Scorpio, maybe. I don't know.
A Scorpio.
A good Scorpio.
Yeah, I
don't handsome maybe.
I mean, but yeah, who doesn't love a handsome man?
Nice, not a Nazi.
I mean, these are all really good qualities of a.
This was my checklist. Marie hit them all.
You're not a Nazi. Great.
Nice, handsome,
not a
Nazi.
Marriage quality right there.
Hitcher.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know.
How's it going over there, Caroline?
Caroline. Hey,
guys.
Caroline's with a mystery woman.
Okay, now that's well.
I like how that sounds.
Okay.
Keep going.
Yeah, no, I am in a new relationship, and it's going really well, and she's wonderful and lovely and amazing, and what was the second question?
There was none.
Oh, gosh. Okay, yeah, no, we're not going.
Okay, wait, I have a final question for you guys to wrap up the show. And anyone just like popcorn answer. What is one thing that you want our audience to take away from our conversation other than how many sexual partners Russell has had?
I can't believe that came up.
I'm glad it did.
I respect and honor you, good sir.
Oh, same. Same, though. Yeah, okay.
Like, let's all slow clap.
I have one.
Wait, if we all slow clap, no one will fast clap. Russell!
Russell!
So yeah, right. What is one final takeaway from the conversation? Go.
Gay people are cool.
Gay people are cool?
Yeah, we're just like the rest of y'all.
We don't like every girl we see just because we're lesbian.
That is true. Oh, that
gay
is a
men
big
don't
want to
sleep with every straight guy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we probably...
There are a few.
We probably weren't
John
hitting
Marshall.
On you.
Oh!
Oh! Hey, John Marshall, if you're listening, Russell.
Well, now we got to make sure he listens.
Yeah.
And we don't.
John Marshall.
Pretty people
though.
Can be gay. And can have children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And are also still probably not hitting on you at straight people.
And
some of the stereotypes are do have some
truth.
Some seed of truth in them.
And it's not the norm.
Yeah, but it's not the normal. Gay men do it probably more than lesbians.
And that could not be the case for everyone.
After your relationship has settled, because when it first starts, yeah. There's nothing competing with it.
Still honeymooning.
Yeah, when you're in your honeymoon phase, every human will do every other human a lot. What else is another thing
you're doing? Every human will do every other human.
I also think that some people don't feel like gay families can have, like, a child and bring them up the right way.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I think...
Why?
My ex-girlfriend did a research study on... in early childhood development, took a research study on how gay parents actually like raise children just as well, if not with
I took
stronger social
class.
Awareness. Yeah,
and because two gay men or lesbians, whatever, we actually have to choose to have the child versus some like one night standers having to raise a kid on their own or hating the child because it ruined their life and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
so they can actually have a better upbringing than some heterosexual families.
Mm-hmm.
So ha.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts, comments that you guys want to add in?
If considering that sexuality is a spectrum, explore yours, listeners.
Who?
If you so choose to.
Frank.
Oh my god.
Frank.
Yeah. Just like don't be afraid to be who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if there is like actual danger, reach out to someone that can help.
Any of
there's
us.
Help with that. Yeah, us, literally.
At
people.
BYO Blanket.
At BYO Blanket is us on Instagram, BYOBlanket.com. Also, 911.
Yeah, 911 is good.
It's good for
start,
when you're in.
Start there if you're in danger.
No! Don't say that!
And then go to at BYO Blank.
Hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just live a happy...
I have to say, as someone who, like, what felt like I didn't have a support system at all, it was, like, me against the world, I actually did as soon as I looked around and, like, realized there were people I could reach out to and that humanity is a really great thing and the community of humanity is great. As long as we open up our hearts to it. Like me, like, when I finally... allowed other people to see who I was. I got accepted in a way that I hadn't before, and it made me like cry a lot at first. And then I realized, oh, actually, most people are amazing and great and accepting, like Russell and his family.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that
live out of fear.
Yeah, and it becomes my family in a way. So yeah, you have family all around the world, no matter who you are.
Yeah,
go
and it
gays.
Feels way better to put it out
go
there
gays.
Than it does to just stifle it into the closet.
Oh mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
it's
that,
like a lot better to be out.
Yeah.
Eminem theme song.
Feels way better to have other people. Hating on you
cleaning
than it does to
closet.
Have your own damn self hating on you. So
yeah.
Let it out. Let your freak flag fly. Happy Pride Month. Go Rainbows.
Your Grubhub order has been canceled.
It's not
her
your
order
night.
Was canceled.
Yeah.
So.
Her order was canceled.
Okay, so this has been our show. Thank you guys so much for
thank
doing
you guys.
This with us.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Oh my god, I did not mean to do that.
Yeah, this has been a Monday night. We all got, I mean, I got a little tipsy. I don't know about you guys. That's what I did. So, thank you so much for spending your time coming out. Caroline, say goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Russell, say goodbye.
Adios.
Brittany.
Well, see you later.
Haley.
Bye.
Maria.
Bye.
And Janon. See you later, guys.